What am I going to explain? Christians, our boast is only in one thing, in what Christ has done in us. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That minister said to me, he said, look, some of the things we take for granted, and you've heard me say before, that you don't know how blessed you are spiritually. You're so blessed sometimes you don't even understand the depth of the blessing. That you don't have to, before you sleep at night, rub something on your head. You know, there are people that you can't cross their right side. No, so it's funny, but it's called bondage. And some man I knew then, a friend to my dad, childhood friend. My brother was staying with him then in Enugu. Said that every day, before he goes out in the morning, that he said if you see a part of his head, the hair is there is discolored. Because every morning he will release incantations and all of that, blow, and then rubs stuff. The reason that enters my head is baby oil. And your hair is only Emily Millionaire and what's the other one? Revlon. You don't know how blessed you are. That you don't have to part your hair and shook something inside and cover it for protection. He said that every day this man wake up in the morning, he must go through the incantation and everything. Protection from enemies. Let me say to you, if you are still going, look, listen, I told you that I've left all, I'm not nice anymore. Gone are the days when I don't want to offend people. Now, if you want to be offended, you're on your own. Hear me. If you are still going to a church where you are facing your enemies every day, you and your pastor have problems. Spiritual ones. If every time something happens, you are still casting back to sender, or better like this, you should give your life to Christ. You are still in bondage to the devil. I went somewhere there, I saw the back of motorbikes. You know these mud guards, I don't know what they call the one at the back of bikes. Two bikes parked side by side, back to sender. I said, aye! Back to sender. You are going everywhere, rejecting things that are not your business. Because of fear. The Bible says that Jesus came to deliver those who were held by the fear of death. What I'm saying is this. You are so blessed that you go around life not worrying about these things. You don't know the depth of wealth that God has poured upon you. And those who can't sleep at night. Let me tell you, the only thing that keeps me awake at night is Kingdom World Ministry. I'm trying to, finish, like, Israel slept here yesterday. literally laid down here and slept till morning. When I was leaving, I said, Israel, let's go now. He said, Pastor, I have to be back early because Zim is coming to come and clean. That no, I shouldn't worry. Let him just sleep here. I came this morning, he said, oh, boy, you sleep? Is there a mosquito? I said, sure, I told you yesterday. Follow me home. Those are the only things I'm telling you. I woke up very early this morning because we have to get our broadcast ready and off to South Africa by Monday. Apart from that, those are the only things that have the ability to periodically keep me awake. The fear of tomorrow, no, it can't keep me awake. I'm an overcomer. I'm a victor. Are you getting my point? That's what Christ Jesus has done for me. I've heard jokers tell me, preaching, say, the sins of your ancestors is none of my business. The man died with his sin. It doesn't concern me. Is he not dead? Yes. And why are you worrying me about his sin? For your information, my own ancestor is alive and is well. They killed him. They did not know. The Bible said if they had known, they would not have touched the Lord of glory. They wouldn't have. Now he's risen. He's above. He's been made righteous. The Bible says he was raised for my justification. You know what it means? It means that his resurrection was a sign that there's no sin on me. You and the man preaching it to you are confused if you have to offer a sacrifice to remove the curse on your grandfather. Jesus died and removed all those things. My identity is in Christ. The sin my grandfather committed is none of my business. I'm not of flesh. Are you getting my point? I was born of the Spirit. The seed of God is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm sorry to say this. A lot of people who handle the Bible and climb pulpit, they don't know the Bible. Like this man said the other day, our friend from America, Oliver, an agenda. He said it's another form of mythologies, African mythology. That the Greeks had their own mythology. The Africans still have their mythology. That African mythology has not entered into the pulpit. Today, all the Ogbanje spirits in this place. Hey, wait. Listen, there are no Ogbanje spirits in this place. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. The devil preys on your ignorance. Now, if you were here when we did our School of Bible Exegesis that time, we discussed what it meant to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What it means is that I write my own laws concerning what is right and what is wrong based on my discoveries, not based upon the revelation of what God has said. Because what happens is that eventually you will discover that God is right. Now, so what has happened in this life is that men have written their own laws. Are you getting my point? They have written their own laws. They are laws of, for example, very good example, two examples I'll use. They are laws of business. And they are laws of marriage. Very good examples. They tell you, now, if I say this, it will surprise you. Most of the things we learn, alright? Okay, don't let me say most. A lot of the things we learn in what we call business schools, alright? They are worldly principles for doing business. Are you getting what I'm saying? Look, a lot of things people used to, and in a lot of business schools, they teach you how the world is supposed to get results. Now, what you now see is this reflects into society by how businesses are done, and then eventually the results that they bring forth. Now, when I say result now, I don't mean the initial prosperity they shout about. I'm talking about the cyclical collapse of the system. Are you getting what I'm saying? All flesh is what? Grass. So they will build a great enterprise or build a set of businesses. Then God will look one day and say, the breath of God blows upon it. Then you hear that Fannie Mae gave money to Freddie Mac, and Freddie Mac took money from Little Rock, and Little Rock, is it Little Rock, the one in UK? And Little Rock, anyway, I don't know, you know, there's one rock bank in UK. And then this one took money from Lehman Brothers, and cut it long story short. One man after the other starts collapsing. They collapse and collapse and collapse and collapse. Collapse, collapse, collapse. They keep on collapsing. And someone says, what's going on? They say, all flesh is grass. What it means is that they built a system based upon the knowledge of good and evil. What they said was right. Are you getting my point? Listen, when God called the nation of Israel out, you know what he did? What he did was that he said, you are my special people. That scripture that Peter quoted, it took it from what God told the nation of Israel initially. A peculiar people, a people for God's own possession, to bring forth what? The excellencies of him. So what God did, all right, in you and me, is that he brought us forth, listen to this, to write new laws. Now, get what I'm saying? For the earth to abide by. I don't know whether you hear that. I don't know whether you know what I'm saying. That is, they wrote laws of banking, the laws of business, and that leads to a cyclical collapse. Periodically, the banks will fail. I'm not being prophetic or being too wise. This is basic knowledge. How can banks collapse today? You don't change the rules. You inject money into them, and you think that they won't collapse tomorrow. I told you that I read a book just a few months before the collapse in America began. And the book said that they will soon start shouting for bailout. And when they shout for bailout, government will bail them out and they will collapse after a few more years. And I was watching one man analyze it, I think on CNBC, they were discussing this was an Al Jazeera, that, okay, what is going on? There was one economist and another one. One is insisting that all this money that they are pumping into the American economy, that what they should have done, listen to this, is to let the banks collapse, let the economy collapse, let the industries collapse. That what is keeping them up now is a lie. That is, we are lying. The day they told, I didn't even know it was possible, that the Obama government was injecting, I've forgotten how many billions again, into the economy. So where is the money coming from? Guess where? They just went into the machine and printed dollar. I thought it was only DMI that did things like that. That Americans printed a few, I think trillions or hundreds of billions of dollars. No, get my point. They just printed the paper. You don't understand what I'm saying. They just took the paper, printed it, and said, Look, O Israel, here is your God. You know what I'm saying? That the way they run it. That they threw their brains into the machine and out came this paper. And, oh Israel, this is your God. That, you know, that was what Aaron said in the wilderness. That he threw the gold into the fire. And this calf, waka komot. So I was watching it. So things like this still happen. So one man was saying that, listen, you know what's going to happen? These banks will collapse again. These industries will collapse again. That we should have just allowed this thing to collapse. And then we'll build solid things again from the beginning. That it will be hot initially, but it will last. But that this one we are doing now, that the Bible calls it, they have healed the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, I'm putting scripture to it. He was just wondering that this thing won't work. And this is my own logic about it. I believe him for one simple reason. You have not showed us how you change the laws. You want to put some regulations in to make people continue doing what they were doing that wasn't good, and that before they fall, we'll catch them. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You see your children walking on your railing in the house. So that instead of telling them, stop walking on that railing, walk down on the steps. You go and put nets to catch them when they want to fall down. Now, please, are you getting my point? This is the point I'm trying to bring out from there. God said there is another law. There is another way to do businesses. You know, I said this, and that marriage is an example. I sat down, my wife was yesterday in the evening. We were watching TV. And I told, I did something led to it. They're showing some, you know, foreign stuff. I told my wife that, you know one reason why I would never have agreed except by revelations and this thing to marry a white woman? She said, why? I said, because I just believe that she will get up one day, say she's tired of marrying and go away. Now, it's just because of what I've observed. And I'm bringing out something. When you look at the divorce rate amongst them, all right, and spreading into our country too if we're not careful, all right, it's not because of anything special outwardly. They say that some of these men are abusive. There are two kinds of abusive people. There are men that are abusive and there are women that are abusive. You know that? The abusive men use their fist. The abusive women, I don't know how they do it, but they can run the guy mental. What I'm saying is that it's not just men that were abusive. Both men and women are abusive. The problem is not what is outside. It's the law that they have written. And all you need to do is hear them educate their young people. And you will know that this young boy and this young girl is going to get a divorce one day. That is, we remove the laws of marriage that God wrote, threw it away. As to how we solve a problem with husband and wife is negotiation. You will talk and talk. Sigmund Freud and his friends taught us psychoanalysis. We did everything apart from convert our lives to be in conformity with the written word of God. Please, bring out something in all of these things. Now, what God called you and I to do, that's what I'm going to, is to come and write a law for the earth to obey. He said the law will come forth from where? From Zion. That is, it is your job. Now, not just your pastor's job, not the teacher, the Bible teacher's job. My job is to tell you the word of God, all right, in here. Then you go out there, live the word of God. Now, you're not competing with the world as who will build the most expensive company, who will become the richest man in the world. No. The only time God stands and declares who is really the greatest, you know when? It's in the time of adversity. I don't know what I heard what I said. He said, the wise man is the one that hears my words and builds his life on it. And I will liken him unto a man who dug deep and hit bedrock and built his house upon the rock. The man who built on the rock and the man who built on sand. Let me ask you, whose house went up faster? The sandman. Now, outwardly, let us assume there was no storm for 100 years. Will we have ever known who built on the rock or on the sand? No, we would never have known. The time God takes his glory, hear me, is in the time of adversity. And I want to tell you something before I close, or as I close today. Don't ever be afraid of adversity. When they tell you that banks are collapsing, don't ever be afraid. You know why? Because it must happen. It will happen again and again. Nations will collapse. Banks will collapse. Businesses will collapse. Diseases will hit the world. problems will never end the way we say it. No, they won't. You know the reason? The only time they will end is what medicine they call herd immunity. When we have filled the earth with the knowledge of God, as the waters cover the seas, so that when God blows, he doesn't find any grass to burn. Why collapse comes again and again is because God is demonstrating that all flesh is grass. And listen, the only reason why you will be afraid is because you were building also with grass. Are you getting my point? Listen, I'm talking about the things that are above and the things that are below. The Bible says that our citizenship is in heaven. That is, God has sent us to come and write his laws. You know what Jesus taught disciples to pray? He said, pray like this, thy will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. I don't know whether you're following what I'm going to explain. There are things that God has written in the heavens. And your job as the citizen of heaven is to write those laws. Listen to this, not to try and belong. That's why I told you, it is not possible to follow Christ without persecution. It's not possible. It's not possible. This day, the church, we have made a mistake. We started bragging in the fact that big businessmen come to our assemblies. Now, I'm not saying it's bad. Every man has the right to go to church. But this is why we should brag. That from our assemblies, big businesses of a different sort, operating different laws, were born. I don't know whether you hear me. You didn't hear me well. No, you know what we should brag about? That somebody will say, ah, don't mind those people. Their own things are different. Where did they come from? They started from church. I don't mean a church. Churches are not supposed to build business. That's not what I'm saying. People inside it, they began to build. Now, let me tell you this prophetically. Your building of anything in life will be slow. The word of God does not spring quickly. Let me say it again, no? The problem is that the world is trying to teach us to mind the things that are beneath. Rejoice, young man, when you don't have a car. There's no big deal about it. Rejoice, young woman, when you can't have the wedding of your dreams. I always say, what is wedding? One day. What is wedding? One day. What you should go for is what? The marriage of God. Do you get my point? And listen, sometimes God will say, oh girl, you know all your life, you have drawn the gown you wanted to wear. This is the kind of engagement ring you wanted and this, and you have drawn everything. You say, yes, sir. He said, this is the sacrifice I will accept to bring a real marriage into your life. You won't have any of this. I know when you were on campus as a preacher, I have learned the principles of faith, and as you begin to declare, you conjure up and you look before your eyes, and I know that after a year of leaving this campus, I'm driving back with a brand new Honda. Brethren, because I saw it, I sat down and I drew a picture, and it is unto me according to your face. Because I know Allah. Then when you finish with your Honda, Baba go, because say, oh boy, come. Do you want the Honda immediately? Or you want to become a Honda yourself? That is, your whole life, you'll be giving out Hondas, cars, building cars. He say yes. He say, okay, oh boy, 15 years trekking. Say, Lord, what did you say? What about the place where I bragged? He said, that's the first thing. I have to put shame on your face. If I don't do it like this now, you won't be humble. You don't know you are proud. I'm the one that's telling you now. Oh boy, I've seen pride. Let's remove it. Say, shall we do it? Bros, you go trek small. And as a rule, you will go to that campus and preach twice a year. And listen, after 4 years, I'll make sure they have a car to come and carry you there. No, you see, I'm telling you the truth. All the long story you have told, it will come to pass, so just it's not next year. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I told you there's a material I'm working on called the hundredfold blessing. Let me quickly give you a hint on what I call a hundredfold blessing. This is a story about this. This is the first chapter of the book. I'm giving it to you already. All right? You know of the man Abraham. All right? Now, this man was called at the age of 75. He obeyed God and God blessed him. Do you believe that? All right. It really happened. And then 25 years after he was called, his wife was 90 years old and she gave birth to Isaac. Do you believe that? Before that, he had a son called Ishmael. And Ishmael began to prosper and Isaac began to grow. And let's stop the story there. At that point, the Bible said that Abraham had become rich in cattle, in goods, in everything. And now he had his own children. Let me ask you a question. Let us assume that his story stopped there. Do you think we will have gist about him till today? No, think about it. Okay, let's assume it's a modern day story. Do you think we have something to tell about him as a man that's blessed? No, you reason it well. Yes, he was called. He obeyed God. God made him rich. He had a son. He had a second one. If the story stops there, that was a great man, man. I don't know where I get the point. Except that was not satisfactory to God. God said, there's another level of blessing we have to get to. He said, how do we get there? We take Isaac from you. What am I saying? If Abraham had refused to sacrifice Isaac, do you know that we would still have told the story of a man that obeyed God and was blessed by him? Except that we would never know that he refused to sacrifice Isaac. I don't know whether I get the point. If he did not sacrifice Isaac, Ishmael would have probably grown, become a great nation or something. You won't know about it. And then another story starts from somewhere else. God starts building another man up. And you will tell the stories. Now listen, this is why kings will die in Israel. And you will be amazed because they will say, this man so pleased God. And then suddenly he woke up, he died, having lived for 15 years. And they said, this man really pleased God. And you are amazed. Because God was not ready to deal on the issue of the sacrifices he refused to make. I don't know whether you are following my point. That is, Abraham, his story was told fully because he gave the final sacrifice. Are you getting my point? He did. That was why his story was fully told. Many people, God makes demands of them. They hit what Jesus called a 30-fold blessing, a 60-fold blessing, but they don't hit the 100-fold. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, what God wants from your life and from mine is for you and I to hit the 100-fold level. And this is the point I'm making. When we are getting to the 100-fold level, Isaacs begin to die. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That's why we have to preach this message. Oh boy. Our job is to bring, now, this is what the 100-fold blessing is. To write the law of God. Because there is a part of God inside the heart of everybody. Look, God has many sides. There's a part inside your heart. There's a part inside my heart. If I don't write my law, the earth will not know what the God inside Banky was supposed to look like. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. You know what Satan is trying to do? That's what I'm going to. Satan wants to distract all of us from all of those things. He wants to tell us, look, focus, be blessed materially, and show that God is good. God said, no, that's not the issue. I can bless you materially. And then one day I demand my Isaac. And don't forget to read it in my book. Isaacs, they die. Don't think that God will just change his mind. No. Isaacs literally die. They do die. In fact, when that man came up to Jesus and said, what must I do to gain eternal life? This is what I think. He had achieved 30-fold blessing, 60-fold blessing. Then when it came to the time for a 100-fold blessing, Jesus looked at him and said, one thing you still lack. What is it? And I will discuss it after. But first, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, then come and follow me. You will discover it. And then the man turned around and left. Listen to me, he was materially blessed. He was a rich man who was elevated amongst the people even though he was a young man. And he didn't gather his money through iniquity. How did he gather his money? Through obedience to the laws of God. He said, all these things I have obeyed since I was young. Everyone. And God said, there's another level of blessing I want to take him to. So what do? We take our Isaac from him. And then he will discover another law of God that needs to write for the earth to see. And the man looked, shook his head, and walked away. And Jesus said, look at him. Let me tell you something. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him when he came. That this was a man who had obeyed God. 30-fold blessing he had received, 60-fold blessing he had received. Then to step into a 100-fold blessing, he turned around and Jesus said, how hard it is for a man whose eyes, now I'm putting my own words to it, are on earthly things, how hard it is for them to achieve the hundredfold blessing. The hundredfold blessing is not about material possession. The hundredfold blessing is for you to be a statement describing the character of God in your lifetime. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining. That is, they want to see what God looks like in ministry. They mention your name. They want to see what God looks like in business. They mention your name. They want to see what God looks like, all right, in marriage. They mention your name. They want to see what God looks like working as a civil servant. They mention your name. But you know what the world is teaching us? Mind the things that are beneath. If your material possession is not increasing rapidly, then you are not obeying God. If your material possession is not building up fast, then you are not doing what is right. Then you don't know. God said, no. I can bless with all of those things. One day I call for my Isaac. Or physically, you have not even achieved it, but inside your heart, we are doing deals in which I will take things you wanted to achieve, and that is my Isaac. I don't know why I went into all of that, but I want to just understand something. Your purpose in life, okay, yeah, that's a good way. I think that's where the Holy Spirit was taking us to. Your purpose in life, which marks your identity. Oh boy, it is not for people to tell stories and say, man, that guy, you know, people have said it, man of God. Even me, I make jokes about it. See, that man of God is driving, see his cars, they are blessed. No, we say things like that. We do. But the man I told you that I love these cars because of the way they were big and he numbered them in order. Where is he today? Ikabod. What do you call Ikabod? The glory don't worker. Do you follow my point? That is, look, my life is not about material blessing. No, it's not. My life is so I can describe. That's my purpose. That's why I rejoice only in what I am in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm coming to. I don't have time to boast about any other thing. I rejoice only concerning that which Christ Jesus has made me. And that is enough for me for rejoicing. I told you that song they used to sing. People say it was unbelief. I say it's a lie. It wasn't unbelief anything. He said, take the whole world and give me Jesus. He said, take the whole world and give me Jesus. That it was all his unbelief. Listen, I have realized that it's not unbelief. It's a statement of purpose. Are you getting what I'm explaining? It doesn't mean that, look, Jesus said it clearly. These things are added. If they were not added, he wouldn't have said they were added. Material things will be added as you require them. But they are not the reason why you live. A lot of people go to church because church is another way of getting material things. The pastor has, you know, the babalawo has his own. You kill two goats in the morning and one fowl at night. Do that regularly, your business will do well. The pastor said, no, I have my own. I also collect my own yam. You know, how many of you read that book? When Ezulu did not say it on time to harvest yam, the pastor started collecting yam and releasing them to harvest. So the pastor said, no. Our own is that, listen, if you give like this and do like this, you also will get it. That is, you and the unbeliever are going for the same thing. What am I preaching today? No, that's not the identity of a Christian. We are not minding the things that are earthly. You will discover something. Life, if you understand God, you mind the things that are in heaven. Material things will not matter to you anymore. What I mean is, it doesn't mean you never have what to use. You see, when people corrupt this, they become monks. Remember, they become monks. They wear dirty clothes and walk barefoot and be meditating morning till. Now, that's not Christianity. Christianity is that I can drive a Lamborghini today and take a bicycle tomorrow. And Paul said, I can do all those things because it is Christ that strengthens me. The God that uses airbag to protect me today will also protect me when I'm on a bike without seat belt tying me to the, you know, nothing. So if I fall like this, I'm on my own. You know, that kind of thing. That same protection that he gave to me in the car that had all the padding, he can give it to me also on a motorbike. That is what is called, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you getting my point? I hope you are following me. Please, oh, my own assignment these days is to call people to real Christianity. Amen. It's to call people to what? Real Christianity. And let's recognize that we're not supposed to be minding the things that are on earth. Our focus must be on the things that are above. What are the things that are above? Let me just summarize for today as it applies to today. Only boast in that which you are in Christ Jesus. You don't boast in any degree you have. You don't boast in where you come from naturally. You don't even boast of your way, like I was born in America. I told you before. It doesn't, look, I remember that when my wife was going to deliver Akinlu, and Jesus was going on. My mother-in-law was trying to say, okay, go and visit your sister. He said, you deliver. My wife said, look. So, after I born finish, when will I come back home? Maybe after 6 weeks. My husband will not see. his child for 6 weeks. How they go anywhere? And I remember what my mother-in-law said. They said, the two of you, your case, you people are just different. The way you reason, nobody understands. It reminded me of what my own mother used to say. My mind too, that's a testimony. A lot of people will jump at it. And then you now come back. Where are you? I went to deliver. And somebody lied to you he said, give your children a chance. What nonsense chance? What nonsense chance? Do you know the chance these children need? They have it already. There's no child of mine that is giving birth to I don't bless. And I bless them continually, every morning, literally every morning. My children can share blessing. That is, they can take, say, your papa never prayed for you in recent times. Take small. Hold. That's the chance they need, I'm telling you. That's the chance they need. I am so full of that thing. I am so full of it that there's no country on earth any one of my children will want to go to, and they will not be able to go to with ease and live there if necessary. Let me tell you what will happen, both in my life and the life of my children. One day somebody will say, I'm wedding, and the person they are talking to, maybe, I take to this scenario as an example. Maybe the person is in America or is in England, and their friend, maybe a young person, say, you're getting married. What present do we give you now? And just call another person he knows. Please help me find a good real estate agent there. I want to buy that guy a house as a present. Just stylishly ask him the kind of house he likes and where he would like it. The guy says, okay, I like this kind of, okay, no problem. How much is it going to cost? He says, sir, that one is expensive. How much? About $250,000. He said, all right, this is the way it is. I pay cash. I don't like this long-term mortgage. All right, the day of his wedding, I will not be able to attend because I'm going somewhere else. But give him the keys and the papers. That's my gift from my wife and I. And that's a boy talking from Nigeria. Yeah, I can do it. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. All these things are added. Let me summarize so we can go. Why we mind those things that are above. Why we rejoice in what we are in Christ Jesus and not boast on my nationality, my degree. And you now think because you have a PhD, you are superior to a man who doesn't have. And when people are talking, you don't think you should talk in your presence. May Jesus not deny you. The Lord is good. Have I taught you anything today? Or I've only preached to make myself happy? The Lord is good. Thanks for at least making me feel happy. All right. Let's give the Lord thanks. The Lord is good. Come on, let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you are good. Thank you.